Good morning, everyone. I hope we're all having a great day today. Today's story is one that talks about the missing overnight guest from the Bullseye store a few episodes back. Unfortunately, we don't know what happened to the overnight guest and how they got there, nor do we really know where they came from, but this is still a very good story. And so, let's just jump right into it. I've got our guest for the day, Nico, here with me. First, let's just hear a word from our sponsors.
Thanks for letting me be here. So first off, this story takes place around 1999. I remember I was going to Werewees Community College, and that there was this really cool librarian there by the name of Nick. And around midterms and finals, Nick would keep the library open on the weekends, which was totally an illegal use of his power, but it was honestly a lifesaver. $20 for the whole day isn't bad, and we got to take advantage of all the amenities from the library. It gave us extra time to study, work on papers, all that stuff. If you've ever been to college, then you know how hectic it could be. The professors thinking it's okay to give us all this loads of homework and assignments all at once because I guess we're their only class, right? Anyway. The library had three floors to it. On the first floor, you had the librarian check-in station where the librarian would take your college ID and scan it to authenticate if you were an actual student. And then behind him, just a bunch of computers and printers. There's a restroom down the hall and some vending machines. If you went upstairs to the second floor, then you had the meeting room or the study hall. Just this big open space dedicated to having desks and chairs around. There were these really cool meeting rooms in there too, so when you had a group assignment, you could just rent out one of those rooms and they had like a blackboard and a dry erase board too. And then if you went up the stairs to the third floor, then that's when you had the actual library itself. Just aisles and aisles of books, some that the professors use themselves for their classes, and some just good reads. So I remember I was sitting there, and there were about 10 of us, including Nick. I remember this because we were getting closer to finals week, and I had a paper in history class about the economics in America during World War I compared to World War II. And I also had a sociology paper due as well. I remember that it was really quiet and everybody was just sitting there working on their papers, and then the lights went out. "What the f-?" I said. Even though the power went out and all the lights turned off, it wasn't completely black. If anything, it was just dim. The blinds were down, but it was bright outside, so again, you have yourself a dim room. I remember a lot of people were freaking out in frustration, and we all heard Nick as he stood up in the front of the room. Hey, hold on, I'll fix it. Nobody worry, it's probably just a bird that landed on the power lines and got roasted. I'm gonna go to the power box on the second floor. I'll be right back." "Are we getting our money back?" some dude said from the corner. "If I can't get the power back on, then yes, but this should only take a minute." "Dude, that's not cool though. I lost my entire paper on the human heart," a random girl said. I get you, but I'm keeping this library open and I'm putting a lot on the line by doing this. So just give me a moment and I'll be right back. Don't worry, everybody's gonna be back to their assignments in no time at all." Nick walked off, and it was silent for the first 3 minutes. Then we started talking, and then soon the 20-minute mark was coming up. "Man, dude, we better get our money back," some guy said. "This complete bull—" Yeah, like if you're going to charge money for the library and the power goes out, then just give our money back. Like, I lost my entire paper and that's not cool, one girl added in. Yeah, I was working on my nursing paper, another girl said. I just hope he gets a power back on soon. This is really stressful. Another guy added in. I think we should get our money back anyway, you know, just for the inconvenience and to show good faith. I'm gonna tell our guy that when he gets back. I looked at my watch. Where is he anyway? It's been around 20 minutes. Has it really? A girl added in. Yo, this guy's pissed me off here. I paid good money for this, a man said in the back. Dude, I'm just gonna go check on him real fast. Just to check and see if he's okay, a random guy added in. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm a technician major, so I'll just see what I can do. This random girl interrupted. We all looked at what she was looking at, since she seemed to be in complete shock. And we saw this man just standing there. It was this greasy, sweaty-looking man who was short and stout. He only came to about 5 feet tall. His hair looked horrible. It looked like it was balding and he was trying to do a comb over. It was so thin and it looked like it was just bleached blonde. He had these really unattractive glasses that barely sat on his stubby nose. The glasses made his eyes look big and his eyes were squinted. He had this really creepy looking smile on his face, this grin that went from ear to ear. You could see sweat marks on these clothes of his that didn't even match. It looked like he got dressed in the dark in the 70s. His fingers were all pudgy and looked like sausage links, and his double chin was exposed. This man just looked really nasty and, for some reason, really unnecessarily wet. We all just stood there watching as he laughed. We didn't know what to do or really what was going on. Dude, what the is with this guy? Who let the freak show in? Some guy said. Oh my god, who is that? A random girl said as well. Dude, this guy looks just like E.T., a man said. Hey, leave him alone, the nursing major said. Don't be mean to him, he's probably got special needs. Are you okay? Did you get lost? She asked as she started approaching him. She got closer to him and leaned on over, having both her hands on her legs. She got a little closer, and he just continued giggling. And out of nowhere, his mouth just spread so wide and got so big. It was like as if this man just turned into a cartoon character or something, and just, he bit her head off. Everybody was just scrambling around in panic. This poor woman's body was flailing around. I guess her nerves were just shooting off at this point. Blood was just going everywhere. This guy was just so giggling. We all tried to run out of the immediate area to try to get to the front door, and as we were going, he took a bite out of some poor guy's shoulder and collarbone area. Not knowing what to do, and with all this adrenaline just rushing through me, I picked up a stapler by one of the nearby desks and just threw it at the creepy guy, and I nailed him right in the face. I was able to grab the guy, and I was able to pull him with me and carry him with his other arm over my shoulder as we ran to the front doors. Everybody got to the front doors and we were trying to open them, but it was locked. It's not opening, a woman said. It's locked, the librarian has the keys, another girl added. Everybody move, a man said as he picked up one of the indoor trash cans and threw it at the glass. It hit the glass, but it didn't break. What the? It's plexiglass, a woman added. I ran to the nearest fire alarm and pulled it, but no alarm sounded. The power is completely out. Fire alarm's not even working. The librarian's on the second floor. Remember, he's on the second floor. He has the keys, a woman added. We started running up the steps, and as we were running, I just looked at the guy I was holding on to. I recognized him. He was in a few of my English classes. His name was Daniel. He's a really cool guy. He helps his grandma out on the weekends. She's not able to do too much on her own. I remember he had a lot of family issues at home, and he had to be the one to step up and take care of them. Come on, man. Come on. Look, you're gonna be okay. Just let's keep going, okay? Look, you can't look at it, man. Just stay with me, okay? Just stay with me. He was unresponsive, but he was moving. I guess I was okay. We got to the second floor, and everybody was calling for Nick, but to no avail. He was nowhere to be found, although we did see a trail of bloody footprints that took us all the way to the back of the room. We found the power box, and we found Nick, or what's left of both of them. The power box had a huge bite mark just taken out of it, and Nick, well, if you've ever seen a bear attack, it was like that. His limbs were spread out and chewed off and thrown around the room, and so were his entrails and whatever pieces were left of him. A woman vomited, and we looked at whatever was left of Nick, and there they were, his keys strapped to whatever was left of his bottom half. "Get the keys," a man said. I can't, a woman said as she was shutting down in the corner. She was crying hysterically and even wailing, and she was sitting in fetal position. She was completely unable to move. I saw another woman try to grab her and pick her up, but the woman would just keep jerking away. No matter what the other woman was trying to do, the other woman would just keep jerking away. Eventually, one of the bigger guys went on over to Nick's body and just ripped the keys off of his belt loop. As soon as we had the keys, we just started running. I tried helping with the woman that was on the ground and unresponsive. No matter what me and the other woman were trying to do to help her, she just wouldn't get up. She would just keep jerking away. There was not much I could do, unfortunately. I was already holding somebody else. I couldn't carry two people, and with whatever that thing is outside, I just wanted to get out of here. I feel bad about it. And to this day, I still feel bad about it, but there was nothing else I could have done. I looked at Daniel on the other side of my arm to make sure he was still okay, and his eyes were open. He was just in shock. I'm pretty sure he was shaking. "Don't worry, man, we're gonna get you out of here," I told him as I just started getting us as close to the entrance of the room as possible. I just wanted to get out of here now that we had the keys. I met up with the rest of the students, and before we could all go downstairs, we started hearing it again. He was coming up the steps. We couldn't go that way. There was only one set of steps to go up and down. We had to go upstairs now. We had to avoid him. We got up to the third floor, and we ran through the aisles, attempting to hide. I know it sounds stupid and horrible, and it still makes me feel guilty to this day, but a part of us was waiting. The girl who was crying was still able to be heard even on the third floor. We knew that whatever this guy was, he was able to hear her. I don't know about everybody else, but I was waiting until the crying stopped, so that I knew that he killed her, and I knew where he was, and I knew that we'd be safe to run. Does that make me a bad person? I was sitting down, and I was looking at Daniel. He was looking like he was falling asleep a little bit, so I shook him a little bit. "You're gonna be okay, man. We're almost out of here. Just stay awake a little bit longer, okay? Alright?" He was unresponsive. "You need to let him go," a woman next to me said. "No, it's okay. I had an English class with him. His name is Daniel. I was able to stop the bleeding. He's just in shock, but he's okay. He's dead." "No, he's not. He's just in shock." I'm so sorry. I know you tried to save him, but he's dead. I looked at him, and his chest wasn't rising and falling. He's been staring at me for the past 10 minutes. Yeah, the bleeding stopped, but so did everything else. I spent so much time trying to save him that I just didn't want to believe that maybe he did die in my arms, with me being the last thing he saw. To this day, that still bothers me. We heard it, our saving grace, and I know that sounds really f***ed up, but it's true. We knew where he was, and we knew we could make it if we all rushed downstairs. And that's what we did. We all just ran at the same time. I don't know how fast this thing is, or what it is, but somehow as we were running to the entrance of the third floor, about to go down and get to the stairway, it jumped out from behind the door. How did it make it up here that fast? It took a bite out of somebody, and he was just on their back as he was still giggling with his mouth open around the guy's back. The man was yelling, and I don't know how he did it, but he managed to run out into the hallway with this creeper still on his back, and he jumped off the railing. We heard a loud thud, and it was silent. We ran downstairs frantically and even got stuck for a moment in the doorway. After we got unstuck, we just started running, and we got all the way downstairs. We passed by the guy who jumped off the ledge. Him and the creeper were dead. Creeper looked like he landed face first into the ground. It's about a 20-foot fall. That'll kill just about anybody. We tried at the door, but it wouldn't open. "Who's got the key?" a guy asked. "He does," a woman said, as she pointed at the guy on the floor. I didn't want to fight anybody, but I think I already witnessed my fair share of trauma for the day, but that didn't stop me from running on over, and I hesitated, but I grabbed that key and I just started running back to the door. I got to the door and I just started fiddling with the keys. There were so many of them, I didn't know which one was which, so I just had to eyeball it and guess it, and I had to try every single one of them. My whole body went numb for a moment when I heard that sound. All the hairs on my body stood up. My heart sank and my stomach dropped. I quickly jerked my head around and I saw this guy, this creeper guy, just standing up as he was still giggling. His bones were distorting back into their sockets and cracking back into place. He still had the blood on his head and he was walking towards us with that grin. We know he can move fast. He was just toying with us at this point. I was still fiddling with the keys, trying to figure out which one is which. I thought that we were gonna die there, but one of them worked. The door is unlocked. I opened the door, and all of us ran out at the same time. As we were running, we could still hear that sound, that giggle as we were running. The cops as soon as we got away, or somebody did. The cops would eventually show up and take care of us, give us IVs, patch us up, and give us people to help with our trauma, and I'm still in therapy for it today. But I remember sitting there and overhearing the cops' conversations, still on the school grounds. Tragedy. Some freak comes in and harasses these kids like that. Or "Is there anybody still in the library?" the first cop asked. "Nah, my men and I did a walkthrough just a few minutes ago. Just a few students that were still in the upper parts of the library, but they're dead right now." "Jesus, who is this psycho?" "Not sure. The students say that he was biting them and eating them." "For Christ's sake, what do you think about all this?" "You know, I'm not sure. This town is crazy and just full of freaks." All this time, I didn't know who that man was, or where he even came from, or even why he was doing what he was doing. But one day, I heard someone on your show talking about working at the Bullseye store and how that one guest went missing. And it just kind of made sense at that point. That explained everything I needed to know. And while I still have questions about who that guy was, I know that he came from some tunnel system underneath that store. I'm not sure what to do with this information, but it feels really good having at least some answers. Although, when I lay my head down to sleep at night, I can still hear that giggle.